People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Larry.
Oh my gosh.
How you doing, bro?
You forgot my name.
No, I didn't. I was going to say,
you did.
I was
you
gonna say your full name, and then I stopped because I don't want to give full names. Because then people could look you up and harass you.
Yeah, they do that anyway.
They do, but yeah. I figured if I say Mr. Larry blah, blah, blah.
They see me walking down there. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
He has the person next to him.
No, they're just looking.
I just got
that
kind of face.
Strange. He seems strange to me. I can't really tell you why.
I like being strange. It means you're
so
different.
So do I. It's the story of my life.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We've been.
Thank you.
Pre-recorded a couple of shows because I was going to be away. Yeah. You were going to be away. Yeah. So a lot of the stuff we had been playing the last two shows were pre-recorded.
Yep.
And during that time, as usually is the case, things happen.
Yes.
And
they
I remember last week you texted me. And you're like, we really should get in there and do a show today. But I was just getting back that day. I was flying back that day from Austin. And I didn't really have the opportunity or the time. And you were like, people's power are getting shut off. And I had just come home to this. And I had no idea. I'm like, what are you talking about? Next thing I know, I'm reading articles about where these shutdowns were going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I looked, and on the map that was on the PG&E site, which, by the way, was not working, you couldn't even contact them. You couldn't call them.
You couldn't reach out
to them because they shut everybody down because they knew they were going to get harassed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the website, and it's down. Finally, I think it was one of the TV networks had a map, a coverage map of where. And my house, when you looked at it zoomed out, was right in the zone. And then I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm literally coming home to find out I'm not going to have any power. So I end up that night, it was when it was going to happen. And I looked and I zoomed in further. And sure enough, there was like a valley of like one street. And it was Blossom Hill Road, which is off of where I live.
Yeah.
And it was like my place fell right on that little strip that wasn't affected.
Maybe it
was the hospital grid.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then I realized I lucked out. And then the station, same thing. I looked at the station. I'm like, we're going to go off the air.
I was thinking about.
And sure enough, we're right by the mountains. Yep. So we right behind our building is literally there's nothing but hills behind us. It's the foothills.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't even, I thought there's no chance because that's a hill, open hills and land. There's going to be a risk there.
You would think.
But somehow we avoided it in both spots.
Mm-hmm.
But did it hit you? You said
it
you
did
were.
Did not.
Oh, I thought you said it was hitting
it
you.
It was supposed to hit us. We were supposed to get hit.
Did you get the text message saying you're likely to experience the power outage?
Yes.
Because I know Crystal, our office manager here, she received the same thing and she was shut down for but I think it went back and it was fine.
Okay. Yeah, I did get the text, but nothing ever happened.
So
went out, bought batteries,
better be prepared, right?
Water. So.
But did you find it peculiar being somebody who's lived here for many years? I think it's like you've been here for 87 years, right?
that and my former life. Yeah, so put them both together.
Has this happened before?
No, never, no.
Why do you think this happened?
Well, we both know.
I almost want you to say it instead of me.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't work here. I'm just a volunteer. Yeah, it's all political, let's face it. You know, we know that. I mean, we all know what happened in Paradise. So, and I think they're, of course, it's common knowledge, so I'm not saying anything new, but they're, you know, filed for bankruptcy. So they've got to save face somehow, right? So being preemptive with these power shutdowns and everything was maybe just a Band-Aid.
I look at it as, you know, like from both sides. Mm-hmm. And I thought...
I do too.
You know, I could see what they're doing in preemptively trying to fix this and not let it get out of control. I really do. I think it's more about how they handled it. Like people didn't know this was happening.
Absolutely.
People who walked in their house to find no power on a day and then to not know or be alerted more than a day in advance, that this is going to be off for about 5 days because we're shutting it down.
5 to 7 days.
Yeah, we're going to just shut it down. You're not going to have a choice.
Right.
And you need to figure out how to make arrangements. Go to a hotel, go buy supplies. It's like not many people can afford to go stay in a hotel in Silicon Valley. No. We're talking $300-$500 a night.
Sure.
So 5 nights of that is, you know, you're $2,500 minimum, not even to mention food that's going to go wasted in your house, not even to mention the fact that you have no access to a computer, not even access. I mean, it really was discouraging to know that that's how they went about it.
Yeah. And it's not very, it doesn't give much confidence or any amount of peace to think that they're in control of stuff if a natural disaster or something, a catastrophe happens. Yeah. What are we in for then? I mean, they mishandled it. Let's face it.
That was what it comes down
to. And then they didn't let you know when the power is going to come back on or if it was going to come back on. Nothing. It was like a big
blank.
But
then they did the first. They're like, it's going to happen at 8 p.m. on this. Yeah. And then it's like, now it's going to be midnight.
True.
So people were just waiting and waiting and waiting. Exactly. And then it didn't go off. It's like, does that mean it's going to be 12:07 it's going to go off? I was literally expecting any minute. Even though I wasn't in the zone, I was like, I'm likely going to have it.
Yeah.
So let's just prepare for it. So I was. I had candles out ready.
Yeah.
Flashlights ready. I bought a bunch of food that I could eat without electric, because I have an electric stove, of course, which means I couldn't cook anything.
I have gas.
Which is smart, because I wish I was able to have gas, but I can't.
I have gas.
But there's things like that. So it's like, should I go get a grill? Should I just get a little, you know, kerosene grill or something? Or, and then I, you know, so all these things kind of pop into your head. But the one thing that really struck me is I remember when I was voting in the preliminaries or whatever they call that, the primaries back last year, they had on the ballot, PG&E asked if the taxpayers would assume some of the cost of all the money that they were sued because of the fires in Paradise and all the money they lost. They asked the taxpayers to be, if we tax each of you $5 extra on every bill for the next X amount of time, we will be able to offset our debt. Oh, please, you consider this so we can, you know, we can patch this up. And it was one of the most overwhelmingly lopsided votes on the whole ballot. I think it was like 12% voted for it, and then the rest was against it.
Yeah.
And that was because we felt, why should we pay for your mistake? You guys screwed up, and now you're asking us to foot the bill. And because we didn't vote yes on that, now you're punishing us by saying, well, we need to avoid this happening again, or we'll be out of business. So we're going to do this now.
Well, we're supposed to be out of business anyway.
But I also found out that there are a few other power companies in different pockets around Silicon Valley, or at least on the East Bay, and even in Santa Clara has its own power resource. I thought PG&E seems like, I don't have a choice. My only choice is PG&E, period.
Yeah, that's mine too.
So how is it that they're allowed to monopolize that, and yet no bank can do that? No other business is allowed to monopolize, but they have a monopoly on electric and power.
Couldn't tell you.
Do we know how that's allowed?
I don't.
We should look into that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of stuff, especially after this boondoggle.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is just opened it up.
People need to come together and figure out how to fight against one company controlling everything like this. It just doesn't seem normal or fair this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, Verizon was becoming that for a while, right? And other companies came in and leveled the playing field. Otherwise, they could charge and do whatever they want.
True.
And it's not fair to the average person to have no choice.
True.
So anyway, it's almost like what cable companies do too. I hate this. I'm going to say it on the air too because I don't care. Like my cable company.
He's in a rare mood today, folks.
Xfinity. Basically make you take a phone line, even though I haven't had a phone in my house since I was like 17, which is a long time ago.
Worse than me.
I haven't had a phone line in my house, but in order to get the triple play, when I tell them, you know what, I want to cancel my phone line, they say, well, then your price is going to go up. It's actually cheaper for you to keep it. And I'm like, well, why? If I don't use a phone and I don't even have a phone, I don't even know my phone number, why would I keep a service I'm not using? You're like, well, you can cancel it, sir, but that means you're canceling your contract, which means your prices are going to go up for internet, your prices are going to go up for your cable. Your best bet is to take this new deal we're going to give you, which is a 3-year contract, and it's a triple play. And it's always about keeping your prices down. Obviously, they want to tell people they still have people using the phone line. But that to me is a joke as well.
It is.
I felt like I had to put that out there.
I don't even know anybody has a landline anymore.
I know. That's what I mean. It's probably a good idea to have one just in case.
Yeah.
Cell towers get hit or something, you know?
But I don't know.
I don't know either. I wonder these days, though, how much we rely on phones, cell phones, if it's going to backfire on us at some point.
I don't know. I still use smoke signals when I have to.
Smoke signals?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, you just start a fire and you blanket and make signals.
To reach out to friends? This dry climate, dude, you can't do that.
Do that in Frontier Days, you know, out in the middle of the prairie, you know, the Indians.
You go to jail. That's what happened in Paradise. Yeah. Somebody was sending smoke signals. Is that what happened?
No. But that's what I do. I mean, it's still a means of communication.
I hope you're kidding. I really do. Because if not, they're going to be waiting for you with handcuffs out front. So enough on that subject, but we hope everybody's back to normal. And I'm praying that this doesn't happen.
Do we know
again.
What normal is these days?
But
I don't know.
If anything, I hope people use it as an opportunity to prepare themselves for some sort of natural disaster that might occur during our time on this earth.
We did have an earthquake.
Yeah, we did, a 4.5, which I didn't feel.
And that was, I didn't either. It was in
Concord?
Walnut.
By Concord, yeah, Walnut.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it. But it was also 4 in the morning. I probably was asleep.
Did somebody say it happened on the San Andreas Fault?
Oh, I don't know. Brad was telling me about it.
San Andreas Fault somewhere.
Brad's like, did you feel the earthquake? I said,
well,
he
would
feel.
He's out there. He's not too far from that.
Yeah, he was right by it. But also, they said we could feel it here in San Jose. But again, at 4 in the morning, if you're not awake, you're likely not going to wake up unless it's really a big movement. Apparently, this was more of a sway.
I don't know. That kind of rocks you to sleep.
I know. I would have probably liked getting in the cradle.
I like being in a hammock, right?
Yeah, like a cradle when you're a kid, a hammock. Yeah, I like a hammock.
Yeah, me too.
Hammock.
Yeah.
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 But you didn't feel it.
I didn't.
Well, you're not far from me, so I guess that makes sense. We didn't feel it.
I'm just down the road from you.
Yeah. All right. Don't make it like we're that close, because
we are. We're very close.
15 minutes, I think.
Everybody
10
knows
15
that.
Minutes. Everybody knows. Let's shift gears for
Can't
a second.
Can't even talk
so,
anymore.
A couple weeks ago, we had our second visit from Joelle, who is Bay Area Lyme Foundation. Great lady.
And she's in the UK now.
Yeah. I think she's gone for a while.
We missed her.
Yeah. She's great. We've had some great guests.
Yeah.
But she was really, really knowledgeable about Lyme. And she's such a, like, I would say, very good at relating the message of what Lyme is and how it affects us to a layman, to somebody who doesn't know much about it, right? I thought she did a great job at that.
She did. And her big thing is prevention, which is cool.
Which is smart.
That's what she does.
Because we don't have a way of curing it at this point. Mm-mm. But we have, you know, treatments that are working, which brings us to the point of the reason we even brought Joe in here was because your daughter is suffering from pretty extreme version of what Lyme, because Lyme presents itself in thousands of ways. Like everybody I know has
many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, some people it's very minimal. Like they may have a bad day here and there. They may be a little sluggish. They may have certain things, but a lot of people have it way worse. Your daughter has what is probably considered one of the more extreme cases.
Very severe.
To the point where it's really stopped her life, or her living normally.
It has. And she texted me yesterday. It'll be a week ago, but she encephalitis. She suffered about with encephalitis.
Okay.
I think that's the name of it. The swelling of the brain.
Oh, that's what that is. I was gonna.
She was, and of course, she had a couple of bad days, so they readjusted her meds and stuff like that. She's better now, but she's got excuse me. Like somewhat of an update. But I'm going to post it on her GoFundMe site. But she did share with my sister the other day that she can brush her teeth, if you can imagine this.
Think about this, by the way. Yeah.
Without stopping. So she, just like climbing a set of stairs, she couldn't go one level, you know, one flight up without stopping at least twice. And she's a very athletic girl.
Yeah.
Very athletic. She did Krav Maga, which is Israeli special arts or martial arts. She did CrossFit.
CrossFit, which you told me about.
Very intense.
Yeah.
And she did really good at that.
I can't do 1 minute of CrossFit.
Her and John, her husband, were into hiking. They were wanted to go to the Himalayas and do high altitude. Unbelievable, this girl. She's nuts. But anyway, she can't do that anymore. Hopefully one day she'll be able to, but right now She's lucky if she can just walk across the room without taking another breath, you know. But she is experiencing results and big results. I think that GoFundMe site's been out since the 9th of September, a little over a month now. So we're halfway to her goal, which is $10,000. So how would people check that site out?
Anyway? I don't know. Do you have the exact name of the link? Or where's what they would search? Because you'd have to go to GoFundMe and then search whatever.
I mean, I texted to you. I mean, I think I did.
Yeah, I just don't know how I'd get to it without using the link. I'm trying to think of
probably.
How you... Can we find that out? Let me see, Larry. Let me see if I can look in your text thread here and see if I can... I don't know. All right. Well, in any case, we don't want to go silent while we both look.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so basically... maybe it's not in my text. But anyway, so what I would say is, why don't you read that letter, or did you want me to?
You, because I'm kind of raspy this morning for some reason, I don't know. But this is a letter from a very good friend of mine who's become a very good friend because my brother and I travel to L.A. about once every 6 weeks or so and work down there for a project, ongoing project. That's been going on for a year and a half now. But anyway, she is a waitress at this...
Yeah, I'll take that guy.
...particular restaurant
that
we always go to. And she wrote this letter to me, and she gave a contribution. In a little bit that she makes as a waitress, it was very generous. I won't mention the amount, but it was. And she just shared some of her feelings because her husband is on oxygen right now. And not doing very well. So she could kind of identify with what Lindsay's going through that.
All right, so I'll read this letter. To Larry and Lindsay, thank you for allowing me to be a part of Team Lindsay. My heart is happy knowing that I am part of something so much bigger than myself. So compassionate and healing circle of love. Please know that you are on my daily prayer list. Feel the love that surrounds you and be uplifted by that love. Love, Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And this is for Annie. To my daughter and me, but she's going through a lot herself. So it's neat when people reach out to you, and they're struggling themselves. And she really is, and has been for quite a while now.
Can I say Lindsay's full name? Because I think that's how
absolutely.
You have to learn. On GoFundMe, it says Lindsay's Recovery Fund.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really give you I don't know how you would do it without direct link people sharing it, but it does say. So it's on behalf of Lindsay Howson. So LindsayHowson. So How Son, like
correct.
Regular like that.
Correct.
And if you go search that name, mm-hmm. it'll come up.
It will.
So GoFundMe Lindsay Howson, and mm-hmm. it'll come up.
Yeah.
But it's basically Lindsay's Recovery Fund.
Mm-hmm. And we're halfway there, and people have been very generous, and it's. Like I say, it's just a little over a month.
So the last update I see on the site was September 25th from
and you can read it.
This is from Ryan.
Yeah, her brother.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I don't. So this is from Ryan. Thank you to everyone who's contributed. Update from Lindsay. I'm on week 5 of IV antibiotics, liquid meds, and 38 different pills a day. That's just crazy. I had my 1 month checkup and should be upping the IV antibiotics to 5 days a week. It's been 3 so far in the next couple of weeks as I get an EKG. I am very happy to announce for the first time in 8 months, I was strong enough to hold a full glass of water and a book. Haven't been able to read in months because I couldn't hold my phone or a book, which I remember when I read that, it blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor said I'll probably have my IV line in and be on antibiotics for 2 years and progress will be slow. Holding a book, glass of water, or phone seems so small, but it's huge when you've lost that and get it back. Also, I haven't been able to get up a flight of stairs without stopping 2 times to rest in months. This last week, I got up a flight without a break. Thank you so much for your support. It's appreciated. So you could see that this is not easy. Mm-hmm. You could see that this is one person's story. So imagine how many people are out there. This being close to home, it's obviously paramount to us, but there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people
now,
probably millions, I don't even know, that are dealing with Lyme disease.
There are, and one of the major reasons is because it doesn't get diagnosed soon enough.
You know what's funny? I don't think this is really an issue overseas.
Apparently, they have the same, they have that issue overseas too.
Lyme disease? Because
mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody from the UK who said that they are pretty sure that it hasn't gotten there yet.
It might be in the UK, not in the UK, but other countries.
Other places, so. Yeah. Because yeah. It was from here, so you wonder how it could have even gotten there.
Well, that's simple.
How?
Traveling. People traveling.
With ticks on them or something?
No, if they get bitten, they go somewhere else.
And... Yeah, but it's not contagious that way.
Oh, yeah. Now it is.
What?
Yeah, just kiss somebody.
What? You're kidding me. Because what Joe Ellis said.
I am.
Joe Ellis said, you're kidding.
Psych.
Okay. You had me all out of whack there. I was like, and Joe lied to
us?
My
look
goodness.
At that face. No, it is in other countries. I do know that. How it got there, I have no idea.
I guess you could animals.
Didn't she say that Lyme disease has been around for millions of years, though?
She was saying, it was part of the thing that it was the one that came out of the out on Long Island in that when they were using.
But that was a different form of it, though. That was one. It was kind of like they took the disease and turned it into something else that you couldn't really find out what it was. But no, it has been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but that particular strain, no, you're right. And that one was caused, I think, or they found it out back in 75.
Just right here, Lyme disease or Lyme borreliosis.
That's what it is.
Is a bacterial disease transmitted to humans through the bite of an infected tick. It is a common disease in Europe. The number of cases in Europe have increased steadily to more than 300,000. Haven't been reported in the last two decades. So the number's not quite as large as it is here in the USA and in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you right now the number in the United States, if I could get it here. How many cases are it? Wow, only 30,000 cases are reported each year.
Reported.
Yeah, you would never think that. I would think it would be so much more. But that is only reported, you said.
Yeah, because it goes undiagnosed. That's the problem.
It says it does not reflect every case because it's undiagnosed in so many people. People don't know they have
it. No, and most don't. Look, I mean, I ran across somebody else the other day that had Lyme disease, and they have friends, two or three other people that have Lyme disease. I mean, think about it. It's exponential. You know, when you take one person that probably knows somebody with Lyme, take our population, multiply it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, you know, just looking here at the places that have the most in this country, Virginia's number 14. Then you got, like, New York is number 13, 13.3 per 100,000 residents. Confirmed cases, 2,700, which is the third highest overall. Then like West Virginia, Maryland, Minnesota has number 10, Wisconsin, Connecticut, 8, New Jersey, 7, which I totally believe, 37.3 per 100,000 residents. The second highest amount of cases that have been confirmed. And number 6, Delaware, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, number 3, Vermont, number 2, Maine, number 1.
Really?
86 people per 100,000 residents.
Wow. And my daughter got it in California.
Yeah. So, but it also notes here that there's been a steady uptick, no pun intended, in cases on the West Coast. So it's moving west. So now you're seeing California, Washington State,
mm-hmm.
Oregon with a increase every year. So that number is going to change. I guarantee you when you start seeing more and more of it here mm-hmm. in the next 5-6 years, that list will be vastly different because it started on the East Coast. So of course it's more likely to be there in bigger amounts, but it's going to start moving.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to mention, we're going to keep that dialogue open. There's so many things to talk about on the show. There are so many different things that we need to really cover. So we never want to spend week after week after week on one thing.
True.
But this is something we'll revisit here. As mm-hmm. I said, close to home, it makes it a little easier to talk about for us. But like we also recognize the importance of prevention and letting people be informed and all of that good stuff. So for so many people who might be like, I'm unaffected by this, it's more thinking about moving forward and preventing.
So let me stop you right there. You make a very good point. Unaffected by this. How many times have you and I brought this very thing up in the past that, you know, it's not a matter of if it's ever going to happen to you, something personal that's tragic. It's when.
Yeah.
And this is one of the times it's happened to me personally.
Yeah, and then you start thinking, I never thought this was going to happen to me.
And so you think, you know, the people that you know, you yourselves, our listeners, when's something going to happen to you? And that's why we always say, you know, always be looking for an opportunity to help people out, because you never know when you're going to be that person that needs that kind of help.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Good point. So that's important for us to remember, and we don't really have a specific thing planned for next week. I know we have a bunch of people lined up to come in over the next month or two.
Yes, that time of year.
We have that, but yeah, exactly. There's a lot happening at this time of year.
There's a lot happening.
So what I feel like we're going to do is next week will be an open show. We'll kind of figure out we're going to go with it. It's okay. And you know, we'll see what happens in the meantime. But then we have a string of shows where we're going to be having guests in. For some upcoming events.
Sherry is talking about the black and white.
Yeah, but that's in April. I think her pancake breakfast is thing
it?
Happened
What's
already.
In December?
The
What's
black
the...
and white balls in December is the pancake breakfast.
Oh, okay. I always
like
get them mixed up.
Yeah.
I always do.
But I know the black and white gala she's been sending emails about. So, but there's other people I already have confirmed to come in. Not next week, but the following week. And then the following week after that.
There's something. It's too late now.
What?
Because the show would have. It's already aired. Well, a friend of mine's doing a fundraiser for special needs on the 19th.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
today?
This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, actually, it was yesterday. When the show airs, it's on Saturday.
That's
yeah.
true, yeah.
So, anyway.
Bummer.
It is a bummer. Next time.
Yep. But keep that in mind.
Yeah, so we're running a little low on time. We have about 4 minutes left. Is there anything you want to bring up before we get out of here?
4 minutes?
Yeah, believe it or not.
And you're cutting me off
you
already?
You talk so much that it's like hard to manage it.
Did I really?
What what do you want to add to this? Anything?
We're both rusty.
Very rusty today.
I don't know. No, I mean, not really. I mean, generally speaking, like I just said, we always talk or think when other people are going through tough times, no matter what it is, that we're separated from that because we're not going through it ourselves at that particular moment in time. But it will happen, and I don't wish this on anyone, but because of what I'm struggling with right now, and I have to tell you, there's not a moment of every day that I'm awake, and even when I'm asleep, I'm sure that this is not just heavy on my heart.
Yeah.
So I try to put on a happy face, and I think I do okay. But because we have to live. It does weigh me down. So I just keep that in mind, people.
Yeah, you know? I almost failed to mention this. I wanted to bring this up before we get off. We're going to be doing something between Shreeja and myself and this show, actually. I didn't tell you yet.
Really?
So welcome to the information,
really.
If you will.
Have me in the loop.
We're going to try and do a huge blanket drive in for this holiday season. We're not looking for any fanfare. We're basically just going to be telling people we'd like you to drop off blankets here, lightly used, new, whatever.
Very good.
But it has to be lightly used at the very worst. Mm-hmm. And what our plan is we're going to build up as many, and then the team here is going to just walk around and hand them out to homeless people around the holidays.
Cool.
Again, we're not doing it for... I'm not going to talk about when we're doing it and why we're doing it or what we're doing, because it's not about that. It's mm-hmm. just about getting as many people to drop off blankets as possible. And this show is going to work with Shreeja. She's going to talk about it on her show. We're going to talk about it on this show.
Very good. Okay.
And we're going to just tell people... And we'll give you information next week about... I might even tell Shreeja to join us next week if she can.
I'd love that.
So we can actually talk about where to bring the blankets, because we're mm-hmm. thinking we'll have them brought here.
Okay.
And then we'll just store them in this studio.
Yeah.
And then when the time comes, we just do a run whenever we have
then
to.
Then we can take a shot of us in the studio sitting on top of a bunch of blankets.
Yeah, right.
We'll be close to the ceiling, but you'll know why.
And I'm sure no one's going to want those blankets. So anyway, Larry, thank you. Seriously.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for bringing all that.
Well, I know
it's very personal to you, but like, appreciate you sharing it with people.
Sure.
It means something. And
very much.
Even though you were a little rusty today, you still were very good.
Yeah, well, thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Listen, we'll see you next week. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about this blanket drive, because Thanksgiving's coming up.
True.
And Christmas shortly after. And we want to make sure when the colder weather's here, these people have something warm.
Exactly.
So, all right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week on another edition of People Helping People on Bali Radio.